Thank you. This is the second session of our present series on the Arab states and prophecy. We wish to cover the Arab states and prophecy in three specific areas. Number one, the root of the conflict between the Jews and the Arabs. Secondly, what the Bible says about the perpetual hatred of the Arabs against the Jews. And then thirdly, concerning the future of the individual Arab states. In our first broadcast of this series yesterday, we began dealing with this first area, which is the root of the conflict, and we emphasized that the origin of the Arab peoples is to be found in the very same chapter of Scripture, Genesis chapter 12, where we also have the origin of the Jewish people. The origin of the Jewish people is to be found in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1, 2, and 3, but then the origin of the Arab peoples is to be found in Genesis chapter 12, verses 10 through 20. And we pointed out how in verses 10 through 20 we have a section of Scripture that I can call Abraham's folly. And because of a lapse of faith on his part, he goes down into Egypt to escape a famine, tells a half-truth and half-lie. The end product is that his wife is taken away from him, and Pharaoh pays to Abram the bride price, which included a number of Egyptian maid servants, but one in particular named Hagar. Eventually everything is discovered, and Abraham is expelled by Pharaoh out of Egypt, but Pharaoh does not take back the presents he gave to Abraham. Now let's see what happens next. Because our next passage on dealing with the root of the conflict between the Jews and the Arabs, we go to Genesis chapter 16, verses 1 through 6. Whereas in chapter 12, verses 10 through 20, we had Abraham's folly, in Genesis 16, 1 through 6, we have Sarah's folly. I will be reading that passage of Scripture. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children, and she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abram, Behold now, Jehovah hath restrained me from bearing. Go in, I pray thee, unto my handmaid. It may be that I shall obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai, and Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar the Egyptian, her handmaid, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to Abram, her husband, to be his wife. And he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived, and when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. And Sarai said unto Abram, My wrong be upon thee. I gave my handmaid into thy bosom, and when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. Jehovah judge between me and thee. But Abram said unto Sarai, Behold, thy maid is in thy hand, do to her that which is good in thine eyes. And Sarai dealt hardly or harshly with her, and she fled from her face. Now Abraham has often been accused of immorality because of what's happening in this section, but immorality is not really the problem. Actually, what is happening in this passage of Scripture is in keeping with the laws and customs of that day, which mandated that if a wife is shown to be barren, the wife has the responsibility of providing a handmaid through whom her husband can conceive children so that the line can and will continue. And what Sarah is doing is in keeping with the laws of that day. And the problem is not one of immorality, nor is Abraham ever accused by the Lord of immorality, only by many preachers, but not by the Lord himself. The real problem here is not immorality, but the same problem as was found in chapter 12, verses 10 through 20, and that is a lapse of faith. Because back in chapter 12, God had already promised that Sarah would give birth to a son, and from this son eventually will come that nation promised in chapter 12, verses 1, 2, and 3. But at this point, 10 years have passed since the promise was made. At this point, Abram is 85 years old, and Sarah is 65 years old. And apparently they have forgotten the promise of God, or more likely here we have a lapse of faith, and they feel they must help God out in keeping his promises by resorting to the laws of that day. And so in keeping with the laws of that day, and in keeping with their with what happens when there is a lapse of faith, Sarah gives her handmaid, Hagar, an Egyptian. Now, where would she get an Egyptian handmaid? She got this Egyptian handmaid as part of the bride price bargaining of Genesis chapter 12, verse 16. And so Hagar is given to Abram, through whom he can have children. Well, in due time, Hagar does become pregnant with Abram's child. Now, few things were considered more despicable in the ancient world than for a woman to be barren. And so when Hagar became pregnant, rather than remaining in humble submission to her mistress Sarah, she began to reflect the attitude towards barren women of that day, and she began to despise her mistress because of Sarah's inability to bear children. It's an act of rebellion rather than an act of submission. And so Hagar brought in an attitude of animosity towards Sarah and openly pointed out Sarah's barrenness. And Hagar's attitude brought a response in kind from Sarah, who treated her rather harshly, until finally Hagar decided to flee to the desert. Now in the desert, she has an encounter with the angel of Jehovah, who instructed her to return to Sarah's and Abraham's household. We see this in Genesis chapter 16, verses 7 through 9. I do not have time in this series to deal with this, but I'll simply mention in passing that whenever you see that expression, the angel of Jehovah, or the angel of the Lord, this is the most common name in the Old Testament for the second person of the Trinity, God the Son. Whenever you see this term, the angel of Jehovah, or the angel of the Lord, this is not a common, ordinary angel. It is the Messiah himself in the Old Testament, appearing in some visible way. Because in every context he is mentioned, he is called an angel in one part of the passage, but in another part of the passage he's either given the title Jehovah or God or something similar. Now after admonishing her to go back to the household of Abraham and Sarah to submit, the angel of Jehovah then makes a unique prophecy regarding the kind of son that she would bear. And this is found in the book of Genesis chapter 16, verses 10 through 12. The angel of Jehovah said unto her, I will greatly multiply thy seed, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. And the angel of Jehovah said unto her, Behold, thou art with child, and shall bear a son. Thou shalt call his name Ishmael, because Jehovah had heard thine affliction. He shall be as a wild ass among men. His hand shall be against every man, and every man's hand against him. He shall dwell over against all his brethren. Now after promising that she would have a son whom she was to name Ishmael, the angel then made four prophecies regarding this descendant of or son of Hagar, beyond the point of saying that there'll be a tremendous increase in her descendants. Concerning her son in verse 12, the angel of Jehovah says four things. Number one, he is to be a wild ass among men. Now God was not calling Ishmael any names here the way we would if we used those terms today. Rather, he's pointing out to the unsettledness of Ishmael. In Abraham's day, there were packs of wild asses that used to roam over all over the desert, just as one time we had herds of wild horses roaming over the old American West. And Ishmael, his descendants, are to be characterized as being similar to the wild asses or roamers. Ishmael will be a roamer, a wanderer in different parts of the desert and different parts of the Middle East, and would not necessarily settle down. This is certainly still true with the Bedouins who today roam the deserts of the Middle East. Secondly, the angel of Jehovah said, "His hand shall be against every man." A second characteristic of Hagar's son is that he would be an aggressor. He would be characterized by aggression. Everywhere he roamed, he would be known as an aggressor. Thirdly, the angel says, "Every man's hand shall be against him." The aggression that would characterize Ishmael's descendants would bring about retaliation. We have certainly seen this principle to be true in history of Israel since 1948. Continually, the Arab states have been the aggressors, either by terrorist attacks or by an all-armed military conflict of war. And they have brought about an instigated war against Israel, bringing swift retaliation by Israeli forces. And the whole cycle of aggression and retaliation is characterized in the Middle East today, and this is in fulfillment of the prophecy of Genesis 16. Then fourthly, the angel says, "He shall dwell over against his brother." Now the expression "to dwell over against" means two things. Number one, it means to live side by side or next to each other, but secondly, it also means to live in a state of hostility. And the picture is that the Arabs and the Jews will live side by side, but there'll be a state of hostility. The fourth characteristic then is that Ishmael will be known for his hostility towards his brother, namely his half-brother Isaac, the future son of Sarah, and in the line of the fatherhood of the nation of Israel. And so with these four statements, the angel of Jehovah instructed Hagar to return to Abram's household and to remain there. And what happens next will pick up on our next broadcast. So until tomorrow, we bid you shalom.